relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom.
Let me address recent unfounded attacks on the professionalism of the FBI and Justice Department agents and prosecutors. I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked. The men and women of the FBI and the Justice Department are dedicated, patriotic public servants. Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights. They do so at great personal sacrifice and risk to themselves. I am honored to work alongside them.
But what has that got to do with the price of bread, Attorney General Garland? That was the very peculiar, very un-American press conference on Thursday, where the chief law enforcement officer at the DOJ spoke for less than 5 minutes and, like some little tin pot dictator, refused to take questions and walked off the stage. And instead of addressing the issue everyone wanted to know about, what was the justification for raiding the home of a man who just less than 24 months ago was president of the United States? He attempted to cover himself in the glory of FBI agents, the same glory of those agents who falsified FISA warrants, who entrapped General Flynn, and who actually lied about their involvement in spying on the Trump campaign. Does this smack of other regimes we've seen before in the 20th century? Let's ask a man who knows more about them than anybody else. He is the director of the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. Any book with his name on it is worth your time. Paul Kengor. Professor Kengor, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Seb, you're too kind, and it's always good to be with you. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to throw everyone for a loop right now because I'm talking about the story of the day, the story of the year, probably the story of the decade. But before we analyze that and some potential connections to less democratic systems around the world, you sent me a piece just a few moments ago that a little bit out of your wheelhouse when I looked originally at the subject, but then I realized why it's important. So why did you send me something about Olivia Newton-John, Professor Kengor?
Yeah, so I wrote a tribute to Olivia Newton-John for American Spectator. And I know we're talking about Merrick Garland today and Salman Rushdie and Olivia Newton-John, but only one of the three did I have a crush on when I was a 12-year-old boy. And I assure you it wasn't Merrick Garland or Salman Rushdie. And I think that I was representative of a lot of young boys, you know, in America, around the world. She's Australian, of course, but she was really a remarkable personality. Of course, she did the movie Grease in 1978, which I saw at the Pioneer Drive-In in Butler, Pennsylvania, when I was a 12-year-old. But she was really a remarkable lady, a remarkable voice, a very charming and happy, contented person. In fact, interesting, Seb, I got an email today. I won't out the guy, but he's an executive director of a prominent foundation. And he told me, he said, you know, I read your piece on Olivia Newton-John. She was the kind of girl that every young boy wanted to marry. And it was really the Olivia Newton-John of the kind of the sand.
It's so strange. Sand. I mean, everyone had that crush. I had that crush. We're of the same vintage, a very fine vintage. But she wasn't even American. How weird is that, Paul?
Yeah, she wasn't even American. And in my article, I included a number of photos with her and Ronald Reagan and with Nancy Reagan, George H.W. Bush. And I mean, so being an Australian, I don't think she was registered with any political party in the United States. And somebody asked me, they said, well, what do you think she was, Republican or Democrat? And I said, well, she had to choose and would have registered. I think she was probably a Republican. And at the very least in the 1980s and in the 1990s, there's some stuff online saying that, well, she was pro-gay rights, environmental issues and everything toward the end of her life. Well, that's fine. But I think in the 1980s and so forth, my understanding was that she identified with the Republicans. And I'll say this, and this adds to one of the reasons, Seb, why I wrote about her. She was classy, and she wasn't somebody who was obnoxious about politics. And as one of my Hollywood conservative friends always says, well, if you don't know his or her politics of someone in Hollywood, it usually means that he or she is a conservative, because the liberals are obnoxious. They can't shut up. The Republicans and conservatives are more discreet. They're more quiet. And they have to be, because the liberals are so nasty and vicious in Hollywood that they would attack them. But she was very classy. She never went the way in the 80s of somebody like a Madonna. And she died at age 73 after about 30 years of cancer, lived quite a life. But a lot of people of my generation, I think they were sorry to see her go. She was a very impressive woman.
And the funny thing about Hollywood, not that I'm an insider of it by any means, but, you know, I've met a few people and I've been on a couple of sets. That analogy or that observation that if you don't know their politics, they're probably a conservative because they want to survive. The one thing you do find out, especially when you go out, you know, have a meal with them or have a drink with them, is the guys that actually work for a living. I mean, the ones that don't, you know, dress up and put on makeup and pretend to be somebody else. You know, the gaffers, the best grips, the cameramen. I haven't met a left wing cameraman in my life. You know, the guys that, you know, hump around these massive pieces of equipment. They're all conservatives, Paul. I wonder why that is.
I know they always are. And in fact, not only in Hollywood, but you've seen this with a lot of the people, you know, MSNBC, CNN, right? A lot of the news media people that are following whatever kind of infamous left-wing journalist. Yeah, the camera guys are always conservative, and they'll always pull you aside, right? And start talking your ear off and say, hey, listen, I voted for Trump too, right? Or I voted for Reagan, or I voted for Bush, or I can't stand that guy Biden. They're always completely different from the people actually in front of the camera that they're filming. Very true.
Yeah, I'm reminded of not too long ago, Mike Pompeo went on a much heralded visit to Italy, to Rome, to the Vatican. I was invited to fly on the secretary's jet to accompany him as a media person.
What a tough gig, by the way.
Yeah. It was. Although I have to say, the secretary's plane, a little bit of inside baseball, the secretary of state's plane is garbage by comparison to Air Force One. I mean, it doesn't even have the same. It's got different hodgepots of seats in the back. You have to fly with the hoi polloi and the media. It's a little bit worn, ragged around the edges. Air Force One is even better than the movies, and I've been on both. I remember hanging out with the cameraman from a certain cable channel, going to Trastevere, having a meal with them. Salt of the earth, great guys. You know who you are, gentlemen. Anytime you want to break bread, I'm there. Paul, before we switch to the more strategic things, although this is strategic as well, whilst we're talking about Hollywood, I don't know if you've seen it, but I like to ask everybody in the last month or so about it. Given the fact that Top Gun has now, as of this weekend, become the seventh highest grossing movie in history. It just outstripped Titanic, and it made $1 billion in the first 6 weeks. Do you think that's a sign of something? Because there's nothing politically correct. It's just a celebration of America. Do you feel optimistic that perhaps the left's grip on popular culture is waning to a certain degree?
No, I'm not optimistic. I still think we're going to hell in a handbasket. And to be totally frank with you, but that is a positive sign. And that's something that ought to speak to people and ought to speak to Hollywood. But, you know, Seb, I mean, it's been like that for decades. Michael Medved, it was, I think, right, who in the 80s or 90s did a book titled, was it Hollywood versus America? Something like that, about how movies that are patriotic, that are conservative, always outperform the you know, these woke movies and these left-wing movies. And you would think Hollywood would learn more of a lesson from it, but they don't. In fact, I could tell you that the movie that Reagan the movie, which is based on my book on Ronald Reagan the Crusader, which it's coming out in 2023. It stars Dennis Quaid as Ronald Reagan. I mean, here it is, 2023. The movie rights for that book were purchased back in around 2006. So it took that long to get a movie made.
I knew that film was coming, but I wasn't aware it was based upon your book. That is incredibly exciting. All right, another topic to squeeze into our hour. Yeah. Okay, the books you need to know about. We're going to discuss The Devil and Karl Marx. Dupes is my favorite, the inside story of the useful idiots in America. And then we have The Pope and The President, also by Paul, but anything with his name on the spine is worth your read. We're talking to the executive director of Grove City College's Institute for Faith and Freedom, a true expert on the threat to America. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. Please make sure you never miss any of our deep dive conversations with the real newsmakers, with the true experts. Go to Spotify today, subscribe, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Do leave us a 5-star review. It does help with the censorious Palo Alto masters of IT as well, and guarantee that you never ever miss an episode and share the links with your friends. That's Spotify, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Dear friends, wherever you stand on the issue of what has happened in Ukraine, what the genesis of that war was, the fact of the case is very simple. People are suffering, not just the people, the soldiers, the men on the front lines. It's especially the women and the children. In every war since World War II, the majority of casualties are civilians, women and children, millions of them who have been displaced. I want to thank all of you who have donated so graciously to our Food for the Poor campaign that is working with local pastors to get meals to the women and children who are starving. Please, if you haven't donated, just $50 once provides 200 meals. Food for the Poor has the food. It's been donated. They just need to get it into the war zone. They've already shipped 11 million meals thanks to you. Make a difference. If you're coming out of COVID, if you've weathered the COVID storm, if you want to give back, remember what our Lord and Savior told us. The priority is always the children, the widows, the orphans, those in prison, the come unto me, the little children. Make a difference today. A donation of $100 is 400 meals. It is tax deductible. Please call them right now at 855-330-HOPE. Or just go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Help Ukraine banner. They're innocent. Whatever the causes of the war are, the women and children are innocent. You can call 855-330-4743 or just go to sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and click on the Help Ukraine banner. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. Paul, you wrote, let's talk about something very topical in the news before we talk about the broader issues of Mar-a-Lago, security state, Stasi tactics. Salman Rushdie, as far as most of us were concerned, this was an old story. This was from the 1990s. This was a fatwa from Tehran, from a man who is now dead, against an author who wrote a fictional piece that was deemed to be heretical or blasphemous by the fundamentalist regime. It looks as if it wasn't such a piece of ancient history, correct?
Correct, yeah. In fact, That fatwa was issued against him in 1989, so 33 years now, and the man has been in hiding for so long. In fact, early on, it was really intense hiding. And one of the biographers of Margaret Thatcher, Charlie Moore, talks about how in those initial weeks and months, Rushdie, who was man of the left, right? This is not a right winger. Man of the left, very critical of the Thatcher government, which I think he referred to as the Thatcher regime, and used words like colonizers to refer to armies and security guards and so forth.
Despite the fact that it was, of course, the British police that defended him and protected him for more than a decade.
That's exactly right. And in fact, Charlie Moore says that the Thatcher people said that within the first 5 months of the fatwa that was issued against him, Thatcher's government, conservative government, the Tories, moved him to 57 different residences with a changed name. So they were protecting him all the time. And frankly, he was safe then. And he was safe throughout the 1990s. And again, those were largely conservative governments, right? John Major, then Tony Blair comes in. So he was protected for a long time. And I think maybe, look, and I don't know the guy, I haven't talked to him or anything like that, but looking at everything that's gone on, it seems like he probably let his guard down a bit, Seb. And what happened last Friday, well, he was at the Chautauqua Institution in New York, where I was. I was speaking there 4 or 5 weeks ago in early July. And so I know that place. It's just over the border of Pennsylvania. It's in lower southern New York. It's about a 40-minute drive from Erie, Pennsylvania. And there's a giant outdoor amphitheater. And it's an interfaith community. They've never been big on security. And, in their defense, they've never really had a big need for security. But Rushdie was there in the main amphitheater. And I talked to somebody on Saturday morning. The next day, I called him and said, hey, did you know anything about this? Did you see it? Were you there? And the guy, I said, yeah, it was right up front. I saw the whole thing. Wow. Rushdie came out. Rushdie was on the stage. He was with his interlocutor. It was going to be a Q&A. And the person said, welcome, everybody, to the 1045 discussion. And all of a sudden, this man runs up on stage. And my witness told me, Seb, he said, I thought it was just somebody running up to adjust the microphone. And then he starts punching. He said, I saw him punch Rushdie 4 times. And later on, he figured out that Rushdie the attacker's name is Hadi Mater, is his name, a New Jersey man, must have been holding a knife in his palm, probably with the blade sticking up through his knuckles, and was actually punching and stabbing Rushdie. He stabbed him in the neck. He apparently got him in the eye. It looks like Rushdie's probably going to lose an eye, or at least eyesight in one of his eyes. He got him in the liver, one of his organs. So the next day Rushdie was on a ventilator in bad condition. It looks like apparently he's going to live, fortunately, but there was no security at the place. I was told, no metal detectors or anything like that. I'm sure there will be in the future, but it was, so Rushdie had this bounty on him for 33 years and it's finally caught up to him. It was a radical Islamist who got him, stabbed him multiple times, and nearly killed him last Friday.
Well, based upon latest reports, I think it was Sunday, he's off the ventilator. He's joking, cracking jokes. So he's compos mentis. Let's all pray for Salman Rushdie for a speedy, speedy recovery. But it just underlines one thing, does it not, as a survivor of the Holocaust? I think it was Simon Wiesenthal said, what is the great lesson of the Holocaust? When a group of individuals repeatedly says they want to destroy you and kill you, you should probably pay attention to them sooner or later. So ideology matters, does it not, Paul?
It does. In fact, Rushdie's 75 years old, and this guy's an Islamist. And in fact, in the Quran, section 47:4, it says, find the unbelievers and strike them in the neck. And this guy went for the neck. And what we understand about him, he's from New Jersey. He's 24 years old. And his parents divorced in 2004. So he was just a young boy at that time. It would have been about 6 years old.
Yeah.
His father went back home at that point, southern Lebanon. And the mother has since talked to a number of different news organizations in the United States. And she said the son went back to visit the father in 2018. And she said he came back. It was just terrible. He wasn't talking to me anymore. He hid in the basement. He didn't want anything to do with anybody. He started cooking his own food. He disassociated himself with us. And somehow he became radicalized, apparently, during that 28, 30 days, that 1 month that he went back home to Lebanon. And I don't know what it was or when it happened, but at some point in the last few years, he committed to coming out all the way to Chautauqua, Lake Chautauqua, in southern New York, looking to kill Salman Rushdie. Yeah. And he almost pulled it off.
Yeah, and it was carrying apparently a fake driver's license with the name of two Iranian IRGC commanders on that fake license. So quite a level of communicative commitment there. We're talking to Paul Kengor, Professor Kengor. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. I'm so excited, guys. You heard me. I went at the weekend to a friend's, my best friend's son's wedding, his eldest son. And it felt good that I had to have the suit I was wearing taken in. Why? Thanks to Dr. Ashley Lucas and the incredible people at PhD Weight Loss, 40 pounds. Yes, I've lost 40 pounds in just 3 months. That should be you. That could be you. No stupid calorie counting, no starvation diets, just a system that allows your body to burn fat more efficiently. Book your first consultation, 844-644-1900, or go to myphdweightloss.com. That's 844-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Sebastian Gorka here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to the current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, the NAACP's sinister agenda, the fall of Black Harlem, the truth behind Black Lives Matter, and the demoralization of America for political power. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone, with Brandon Tatum, Vodi Bocum, and Chad O'Jackson. Pre-order it today at salemnow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on Friday, August 26th at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. salemnow.com. All right, so let's return to the little clip I opened the show with, Paul. Merrick Garland not explaining anything about what the FBI had in terms of justification for raiding the home of a former president, trying to distract us by talking about how great the FBI is. Will you put the events of the last 10 days into perspective, given your understanding of authoritarian regimes? Did you, as someone born here, my background is, you know, parents who escaped a communist regime. As an American born here, did you ever think that we would be in a place where somebody who less than 2 years ago was the president was having his private residence raided by federal law enforcement carrying guns, Paul?
Well, it's most definitely unprecedented. And here's what really bothers me about it, Seb, is that, you need to present your reasons for why this happened. And what bothers me about Merrick Garland's press conference there, that there's any pushback or questioning, you know, do you have evidence for this? Was this justified? They start playing the victim. They start accusing others of attack, of hatred, of inciting violence. You know, it's only natural to respond to something like this by saying, in fact, it was a couple different people, from Good Morning Britain, Piers Morgan.
We lost you there for a second. Start that again. A couple of guys did what?
Yeah. I saw a discussion between Piers Morgan and Bill Maher, who are both men of the left. And, you know, they were even both saying, you got to have good justification for this. Andrew Cuomo even said that. And, you know, there are people on the left that are worried that just when it looks like the Democrats may have caught the Republicans in the polls going up to the midterms in November 2020, this might now energize Republicans, especially if it turns out that this isn't justified. So it really bothers me that Merrick Garland and others get so upset when somebody simply says, okay, why did you guys do this? Give us the reason. Show us the evidence for why you did. Then they want to cry foul. You can't do that. This is the same kind of group who, from 2016 to 2020, for 4 years, told us that the 2016 election was a fraud, that Vladimir Putin had worked with Donald Trump to rob Hillary of the election. And then in November 2020, when people on Trump's side wonder if there was any fraud in the 2020 election, the same people on the left go nuts and say, you can't have that kind of discussion. I was going back a few weeks ago, just by happenstance, through my files for a book that I did on George W. Bush in 2004. And I had a folder in there, Seb, because I had a chapter on this in the book, on liberals going bananas in December 2000, questioning whether or not that election was valid. Bushwhacked by the Supremes, right? There was a book called something like that. Liberals have done this forever. There are questions about the 1960 election. There's just been a major book done on that. And then all of a sudden, when Trump supporters in 2020 have questions about that election, they're not allowed to. And so I don't like this about the left. Do you believe in democracy or not? Do you believe in dialogue? That isn't stressed enough,
in my opinion, Paul, is that it's bad enough that this is a man who has the top secret, the highest level of clearance till the day he dies. That's what we do with presidents. Even Jimmy Carter has a TSSCI. So the idea that you need to raid his home is outrageous to begin with. But he's not just a former president, Paul. He is, and I guarantee you this, going to announce, which means he's a future presidential candidate. So you're using federal law enforcement against somebody who will be running against the current president, which makes it even more egregious.
Yeah, and that's when the question of politicization comes into this. And unless you have something to the level of, you know, Trump pulling a Sandy Berger, shoving classified documents from the National Archives literally into his socks and underwear, right? We know that Sandy Berger did that, and we have a pretty good idea what we think it related to, right? We think it might have related to Osama bin Laden. To be fair, we'll never know because Sandy Berger took those documents. So now he
took those documents, he destroyed them, wasn't put in prison as the statute requires, was temporarily suspended from his security clearance, and was temporarily disbarred from being a lawyer. This is what happens to somebody who actually steals secret documents that are embarrassing to the Clinton administration and destroys them as a former national security advisor. We're talking to Paul Kengor. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, one-on-one, coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, do what I did more than 3 years ago. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 3.5 years later. There's only one way to find out. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. You deserve to know. Do it today. What have you got to lose? Except for the pain. Call 800-500-8384 or just go to relieffactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Sometimes when I come to work, it's a little bit easier to do the show than other days. When I've got a brand new guest, never been on the show before, got to do a little bit of extra prep, got to find out who they are, what they've said. If it's an old buddy, super easy because I know what they know, or what their expertise is. You know the easiest thing, the easiest guest to have on is when you're flying to a wedding in North Carolina, and as you're getting comfortably into your seat, about to put some headphones on, do some writing, your wife pulls out the latest book from your guest and starts reading it in front of you. And I go, how are you enjoying that book by Paul Kengor? And she says, it's amazing. And for the next hour, she's nudging me and showing me passages in the book. So I didn't have to prepare for today's interview. I just texted my wife half an hour ago and I said, what do I need to ask Kengor? So are you ready, Paul?
I'm flattered. Yeah, yeah. Tell your wife that I am really flattered.
All wow. right. So okay, put the book sure. up on the screen, Eric. This is the latest one from the maestro. It is The Devil and Karl Marx. Okay, you've got to get it. Just shocking. I mean, literally shocking.
It's not exactly inspiring reading, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, disturbing, truly disturbing. So number one, it's not... Marx was a bad dude. I mean, forget the ideas. She forced me to read this passage from a letter from Karl Marx's father to his son, where says, there's something dark in your soul, son. He's actually talking about the evil inside this man's soul. So Paul, this wasn't just a political scientist or a theoretician, correct?
Right. No, it's in fact, off the top of my head, that's a March 1837 letter from Heinrich Marx, the father, wondering if what's possessing Karl in his mind, if it's a demon, right? If it's Faustian.
Yes. He uses the phrase Faustian. Can you imagine what kind of person we're talking about when the father has to raise the adjective Faustian with his son, which means an individual who made a bargain with the devil, Paul?
Well, and in fact, Marx had a favorite phrase, and his daughters talked about this, friends and associates did. If you were to ask, you know, myself or Sebastian Gorka, hey, do you have a favorite quote or phrase, right? We might name a scripture verse, maybe a quote from a famous general or president or leader, a quote from a saint. Everybody said, oh, yeah, that's easy. I know what Marx's was. Marx had a favorite from Goethe's Faust, from the Mephistopheles character. Now, the Mephistopheles character was the devil, the demon character. And that quote was, everything that exists deserves to perish.
Yeah.
That was Marx's favorite quote. Everything that exists deserves to perish. His daughter said he would actually chant that quote. So, I mean, right then and there, that tells you that you're dealing with somebody.
Which of the daughters? Because I learned from the book that he had two daughters who committed suicide in a death pact. These are Marx's children, Paul.
Yeah, he had two daughters. This is the only figure I know of. You're a historian as well. I mean, do you know anybody else that applies to?
No.
I don't. Two daughters who committed suicide in suicide pacts with their husbands. By the way, ingesting poison, which is one of the things that Marx wrote about in some of his demonic poems. One of them called The Pale Maiden, about this maiden who ingests poison and dies.
Yeah.
You know, really a sick, depraved man who taught his daughters this kind of hopeless existence, this faithless existence, and they end up taking their own lives. By the way, of the suicide pacts, one of the husbands followed through with it. The other husband backed out of the suicide pact after he gave Marx's daughter the poison.
Wow.
And some people felt that he should have been charged with homicide. But both girls took their own lives in suicide pacts with their husbands. And the one husband who did go through with it, Marx called him Negrillo, or the gorilla, because he was partly Cuban. And in Marx's views, that meant that he was partly Negro. Although Marx didn't use the word Negro, Marx used the actual N-word, the American English racial epithet for Negro. You can look in Marx's writings in German between him and Engels, and instead of using the German translation for black or Negro, he actually uses the N-I-G-G word.
Wow.
And so this is somebody who, if we found anything like this in the writings of Donald Trump or Ronald Reagan or anybody on the right, he would be canceled. And instead, you've got professors with busts of Marx in every university in America.
So let's extrapolate beyond that. It's not just that he wasn't just a philosopher. There was something satanic about him. Let's go one step beyond. This is the second question from Katie. By dint of that, or in absolute concordance with that, Marxism isn't just a failed idea for state planning. It's actually something evil.
That's exactly right. And you'll often hear people say, well, Marxism doesn't work because the economics aren't right. And, you know, Marx wasn't really an economist. No, it's not just that. I mean, Marxism fails not just economically, right, but politically, religiously, philosophically, anthropologically. Pope Benedict XVI said, you know, what Marx got wrong, it was a failure of anthropology. He fails to understand human nature. He had everything wrong across the board. And then when you add on to that this diabolical element to it, everything that exists deserves to perish. The things that the man wrote about the devil. Ronald Reagan said, it was in his speech to the Irish Parliament in 1984, he said, the battle that we're in here is not just a material battle about politics and international relations. This is a spiritual battle. And it really was. And I think one of the only explanations for how it's even survived this long, there's no real rational explanation to it. I think it's more of a spiritual explanation, and I do think it's evil. This is an ideology with pernicious, diabolical roots.
And of course, he was lambasted, he was lampooned when he used the phrase an evil empire. How does something this evil, Paul, get so inveigled into our institutions in America? What's the short answer to that?
Well, it's a good question. I guess the short answer would be education, 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 right? It's something that Raymond Aron called it the opium of the intellectuals. You know, Marx called religion the opium of the masses. You know, Marxism is the opium of the intellectuals. So for whatever reason, so many intellectuals have fallen for this claptrap. You know, Augustine said there's a God-shaped vacuum in all of us, which implies that it's a vacuum that only God can fill. But if you remove from intellectuals God, that religious vacuum, then some unclean spirit is going to fill that vacuum. And for a lot of people on the hard secular left, it became Marxism. And for a lot of them, it's Marxism still. At the very least, it's some form of socialism. And as Marx and Engels and Lenin said, socialism is the final transitionary step to communism.
It is it is a religion. It does fill that Augustinian God-shaped hole in the soul, but it is a diabolical religion. The book is The Devil and Karl Marx by our very special guest, Paul Gengor. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating 500,000 Americans right now across this nation, me included. But not just me, people like Alicia from California. This is Alicia's story. I'm a grocery store worker and was working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees were not getting a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That story should be your story. That story could be your story. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and hundreds of thousands of your fellow Americans. Call today, 800-500-8384. What have you got to lose except the pain? ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. All right, I want to mention it again because I'm so excited at the news. Tell us what the news about this upcoming movie, who's in it, what's it about, and which of your books is it based upon, Paul?
Well, I got to be careful because I'm probably not authorized to talk about it too much right now, but I'll just say basically what's known so far about my role in it is that it's Reagan the movie, and it's based on my book, The Crusader, Ronald Reagan, The Fall of Communism, of which, if you're watching a video, I have a shameless plug right behind me right there. That's my poster board for the book. And Mark Joseph is the director. In fact, if you just Google Reagan the movie, there's a Facebook page. It's been up for a while. Dennis Quaid plays Ronald Reagan. Young Ronald Reagan is played by David Henry, who's fabulous in it. And the whole group is just terrific. It's really, really well done.
And when can we expect that? Will it be in theaters? Will it stream? Do we know?
I think the plan is early 2023, but I don't know if that's been announced yet. And it's definitely going to have a major theatrical release. But you know, getting back to our original point on, you know, Ronald Reagan died in 2004. That book came out in 2006, and it's going to take, you know, at least 16, 17 years for that to become a motion picture. And this is something, you know, Hollywood is just not good at doing. You look at the movie on Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I think there were three scripts on Ruth Bader Ginsburg within a year of her death.
Probably before she died, they were working on the scripts, Paul.
Probably true. And yet, you know, here you have it. You know, liberals talk about rich conservatives. You conservative Republicans have all the money. You know, look how hard it is for them to get a movie made about their icon, right? The greatest Republican since Lincoln. Of all things. So, yeah.
All right, let's put these books up there one by one, Eric. These are just three of the titles that should be on your shelves. Let's put up, there you go, Dupes. It's one of my personal favorites, How America's Adversaries Have Manipulated Progressives for a Century, really the story of the useful idiots and the fellow travelers. Then we have A Pope and a President, St. John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and The Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century, two people who, along with Margaret Thatcher, did more than anybody else. Sorry, Gorby, it wasn't you. You were a commie. You're still a commie. It was those three together that brought down the Iron Curtain and won the Cold War for us. And the most recent, if you want to see the dark underbelly, the truly satanic, black, wizened heart of communism, and who Karl Marx really was, The Devil and Karl Marx by Paul Kengor. God bless you, Paul. Keep doing what you do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Don't forget, we are on all social media platforms except the fascistic YouTube. So follow us on Truth Social, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Parler, you name it. And of course, every video is posted. We also live stream at Rumble, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.